Welcome to this news event sponsored by the law firm Piper Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway, or Piper Wolf for short. You'll be hearing from three speakers today, and before we introduce them, I want to invite the operator on the line to explain how reporters can ask questions during the Q&A period. Operator?
Thank you, Max. So ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that would be star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Back to you, Max.
Thank you. And we'll repeat those instructions about how members of the news media questions at the start of the Q&A period. I also want to mention that the news related to today's news event is going to be available on the web at lostembryos.com under the news tab, embryos.com. So as I mentioned, you'll be hearing from three speakers today. First is attorney Yosef Pfeiffer, managing partner at Pfeiffer Wolf. Second is Anu Mukashi, a California woman who's been victimized twice by Pacific Fertility Center. Third is Adam Wolf, attorney and partner, Pfeiffer Wolf. So let's go ahead and begin with our first speaker, Yosef Pfeiffer, managing partner at Pfeiffer Wolf. Go ahead.
Thank you, Max. Welcome to this news conference. After multiple conversations with women and families across the country who've been left in the lurch by fertility centers during the coronavirus pandemic, we started to notice a disturbing pattern. That is why we're here today. Our firm has spoken with more than half a dozen families who are currently going through this, and you will hear from attorney Adam Wolf describing some of the cases in a few minutes. You will also be hearing in detail from one of the victims of this shabby and chaotic treatment by fertility clinics. This is a very disturbing development, and we believe that the cases we are hearing about are just the tip of the iceberg. We think that it is very likely that there will be a major wave of lawsuits by women and families who are just basically abandoned during the in vitro fertilization or IVF process when the COVID-19 hit. Obviously, much of America shut down when the coronavirus pandemic hit. But that is no excuse for fertility professionals to just abandon women who are already embarking on or in the middle of the expensive, painful, emotional, and costly IVF process. Pfeiffer Wolf has been tracking fertility center abuses for several years now. This is more than a practice area. This is a passion project for our firm. Last spring, we issued a national report that my partner, Adam Wolf, will discuss, warning of the dangers of an unregulated fertility clinic industry that is raking in billions of dollars without any meaningful state or federal regulations. I have to wonder, what is it going to take to get people to wake up to this issue? We had two clinics with major egg and embryo destruction events in the spring of 2018. Our law firm has handled a shocking number of widely publicized fertility center and fertility doctor misconduct cases and countless more that were resolved without publicity. I mean, this is crazy. And the kind of horror stories and abuses that our clients deal with cry out for common sense rules and regulations. Now, we're seeing what happens when a pandemic hits and this unregulated industry ends up failing scores or maybe hundreds or thousands of other women and families. Our mission is clear here. Until America starts taking fertility clinic oversight seriously, we are going to stay laser focused on the industry's inexcusably sloppy and careless behavior. That is what we do every day. And now we're seeing even more tragic mistreatment of women and families in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. Now I will let Adam Wolf and Anu tell you the rest of the story. I look forward to taking your questions in a few minutes.
Thank you. Again, that was attorney Yosef Pfeiffer of Pfeiffer Wolf. Let's go to our second speaker, Anu Mukashi, a California woman who's been victimized twice by Pacific Fertility Center. Anu?
Good morning. Thank you, Adam Wolf and Pfeiffer Wolf Law Firm for inviting me to be here with you today. I'd like to share our story with you in the hope that it will help fertility care in the future. We, along with many others, had an embryo in the storage tank that failed at Pacific Fertility Center in spring of 2018. I first found out about the failure just from reading about it in the newspaper, and I immediately feared for the life of my embryo. My fears, unfortunately, were confirmed a few days later. My embryo was indeed in tank 4, the failed tank, and it was devastating. After all the effort we went through to create a successful embryo, it felt like we were losing a daughter. We assumed she was safe in the tanks at the fertility center, and it was a lot to process. After processing what happened, we decided we would try again, even though I was several years older and I knew it would be more difficult. Putting my body through the process of IVF to harvest my embryo was quite an undertaking. This embryo was a result of multiple retrievals, which involved painful injections, lots of pills, and a lot of waiting. It was both physically and emotionally draining, and I thought I was done with all that. But in light of the failure at Pacific Fertility Center, I got back in the mindset of repeating it all over to complete our family. We tried again with PFC, and I again prepared my body with the medications for my retrieval surgery. During the surgery, the doctors discovered that they couldn't retrieve any viable eggs because I had unexpectedly ovulated. After the anesthesia wore off, I was told that this likely happened because of my age. All of the nightly hormone injections, all the physical and emotional pain was for naught. It was very difficult to process. Soon after, we hired Piper Wolf to represent us and fight for us. We are seeking justice for this tragedy through the class action lawsuit that is still ongoing. We are grateful for the work that has been done by Adam and the entire Piper Wolf team. They are fighting to hold these companies accountable and to make sure that our family is compensated for ongoing suffering and expenses incurred. We were scheduled for yet again another cycle in March, despite all the side effects and expenses. And that's when the coronavirus pandemic struck San Francisco and nationwide. So we again needed to put our process on hold. The first fertility center to reopen nearby was Marin Fertility. In mid-April, I asked Pacific Fertility Center to move our egg retrieval process to Marin Fertility Center since Pacific Fertility Center was still closed. And every month that passes at my age is critical. To date, they have not answered my request. Some fertility clinics are now open and some are still closed. We think Pacific Fertility Center is still closed. The lack of uniform guidelines and transparent communication is not okay. I'm 41 years old and desperately want to complete my family. The prospect of waiting many months while Pacific decides when it will reopen is a serious problem for me. At the very least, Pacific Fertility could have responded to my request. Throughout our IVF journey, we have put our faith in Pacific Fertility Center. Because of the tank failure at Pacific Fertility Center, we found ourselves struggling to have another child. The lack of communication and transparency from Pacific Fertility Center made this already challenging process even harder. There's no guidance from state or federal agencies. If it weren't for Piper Wolf, we'd be entirely on our own. I'm here today participating in this news event because I want others to know the challenges with fertility clinics in the U.S. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Again, that was Anu Mokashi, who was victimized twice by Pacific Fertility Center. And that takes us to our third and final speaker today, Adam Wolf, attorney and partner at Piper Wolf. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks very much, Max. Welcome. My name is Adam Wolf. I am a partner in the law firm Piper Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway. A large part of my practice is devoted to embryo destruction cases and other abuses by fertility clinics. Piper Wolf has been on the front line of fertility misconduct cases for a long time. In the spring of 2018, we became involved in the nearly simultaneous embryo destruction cases at Pacific Fertility Center in San Francisco and University Hospital's Ahuja Fertility Clinic in Cleveland. Hundreds of embryos were destroyed, and scores of families across the U.S. were devastated. Since then, we have represented hundreds of clients who suffered at the hands of their fertility centers. That is one of the reasons why our offices have been hearing steadily since the start of the coronavirus pandemic about a whole new type of IVF fertility clinic abuse. Women and families left in the lurch by fertility clinics. You will hear more in a few minutes about the other victims from Pacific Fertility Center and fertility centers across the country, including in the recent COVID-19 crisis. This is just one story among many. We are hearing from many other women abandoned midway through the costly, painful, and expensive IVF process, left with little or no guidance. In one case, a woman who had started her IVF process was notified by voicemail that the clinic was closed and her treatment ended. In another case, a couple only found out on the internet that their fertility center had closed, and thus they could not attend their appointment the following week. And then there was the case of a woman just days away from the completion of her IVF treatment when the fertility clinic she was using shut down with no advance notice. She was provided no guidance as to what to do in her condition or what additional steps and or precautions to take. This is the kind of utter chaos and shabby treatment of women and families that we are seeing at fertility centers across the U.S. And why, might you ask, is this kind of horrible situation even possible? Why isn't some office or agency stepping in to clamp down on abuses? The answer can be found in the Pfeiffer-Wolf report released in Washington, D.C. in April 2019, in which we called for an end to the Wild West days of virtually no regulation over the IVF industry. Just about 1 year ago, we warned that nail salons are subject to far tighter state and federal controls than U.S. fertility clinics. Sadly, nothing was done immediately in the wake of the massive embryo destructions in San Francisco and Cleveland. Nothing was done in the wake of the release of the Pfeiffer-Wolf report. And then the coronavirus pandemic came along and underscored in vivid terms what we were so concerned about, that without serious and meaningful regulation, fertility clinics can operate against the best interests of their customers. This just can't be allowed to go on like this. It's time that we start regulating fertility clinics more tightly than nail salons in the U.S. As our 2019 report notes, U.S. fertility centers are almost entirely unregulated today, unlike tighter oversight in such nations as Estonia, Abu Dhabi, Germany, and the U.K. For U.S. fertility centers, the result is a near Wild West situation where meaningful oversight is absent, error reporting is essentially voluntary, and tragic cases of lost, destroyed, or otherwise improperly handled embryos are on the rise, including more than 5,000 embryos and eggs known to have been lost or destroyed in less than 2 years. There are a lot of public health lessons coming out of the coronavirus pandemic, and one of them has to be that we can no longer allow fertility centers to go largely unregulated. The recent tank failures show that industry self-regulation and the honor system in this lucrative field are just not enough. As our 2019 report indicated, we need to look seriously at the effective system of fertility clinic oversight in the UK and adopt that here in the US. Everyone understands that things stopped when the pandemic hit, but people's fertility struggles continued. And women and families going through the pain, expense, and uncertainty of IVF should not be dealt with in such an inexcusable fashion. Thank you for your attention to my statement. I look forward to taking your questions.
Thank you. Again, that was attorney Adam Wolf of Pfeiffer-Wolf. And that takes us to the Q&A portion of the call. And before we begin, I'd like to bring the operator back on the line to explain again how members of the media can queue up to ask a question. Operator?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster.
Thank you. And while we're pausing, I want to make sure that reporters know how to follow up. If they need anything else following the news event, you can contact Max Carlin at 703-276-3255. As well, you can go to lostembryos.com where the news release, more information is available. Again, that's lostembryos.com, no spaces. Okay, operator, let's go to our first question, please.
Your first question comes from the line of Ruth Bashinsky from Freelance Journalist. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mr. Wolf, could you tell me how many fertility clinics are involved in this in the New York tri-state area?
Well, when you say involved in this, where there's actual what? Say it again.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, you know, it seems California, Cleveland. I was wondering if you had, you know, any information specific to the New York area.
Yes. We receive calls at least once a week from a victim of fertility center misconduct from the New York tri-state area. As right now, we don't know how many clinics in New York are open and how many are closed. There is no transparency. There's no way to find out this information. There is no central database to tell us. All we know is that we have an ad hoc and arbitrary system in New York and around the country. And that's not fair to the women and families that fertility centers treat.
Absolutely. Obviously, if this was a story that was going to appear in one of the New York media outlets, it would be helpful to know, specific to New York, like maybe an estimation or projection by your law firm.
Yes. And I would be happy to speak with you individually about that after this event. If you get in touch with Max, I will talk to you more particularly about New York for sure.
Okay, it's terrific. Thank you. And I also had a question for the young woman who was speaking. I wasn't sure. Anu, if that's
right.
Okay. Hi, Anu. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I did want to ask you, where does it stand now? So you decided to go to another clinic that was opened. You weren't able to get the information from the previous clinic. So where does it stand now with your IVF? Are you working with this? They can't really do anything, right? You're in limbo?
Yeah, exactly. I'm in limbo. I'm not sure what's going to happen next. And that's part of the stress. So I'm in contact with Marin Fertility. But as far as I know, I'm on my own with Marin Fertility. Since Pacific Fertility hasn't responded, but we're basically waiting at this point.
And there's you can't go through anything until they get the previous records. You can't start any IVF or do anything yet. Is that what you're saying?
No. I can start, it all depends on my menstrual cycle. So I can start with Pacific Fertility Center, but it will be on my own, like starting over with Marin because Pacific Fertility Center, as far as I know, is still not accepting patients or not treating patients.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I really, again, I'm very moved by your story. I think it's obscene that this is going on in the United States. I just can't believe it. So I definitely might want to speak with you privately, but I will give the room to other people to speak. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to our next question, operator.
Your next question comes from the line of Natalie Lampert from New York Times Freelancer. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks so much. Thanks so much for this call. I'm really glad to be on. I have a first question for, I think, Mr. Pfeiffer, Mr. Wolf, about regulation. So, yeah, I've been on this topic and issues for a long time. I wrote about the tank failures, and I just wrote a piece for the Times, and this might be helpful to the other journalists on the line, about clinics operating amid COVID. And yes, it is very much every clinic for themselves and kind of deciding how to operate, whether or not to be open or closed. My question about regulations, though, is, and maybe this is covered in your briefing, but where should the increased regulations come from? This seems to, the questions always come back to this after Ohio and PSC. Is it,
or is it the ASRM, CDC? Is it, can you kind of speak a bit more specifically to the like increased regulation oversight you think should be happening? And then my second question for Anu, thanks so much for being on the call, Anu, and sharing your story. I'm so sorry for like in many cases the double whammy you're experiencing with PFC. You've said that there's been no communication from PFC at this point. I'm wondering if they are specifically not allowing you to transport your embryo or embryos. I ask because I've heard this from other women at other clinics who have been trying to move their embryos to other clinics to continue cycling and to have a transfer when their clinics have closed down in the past 2 months. So I'm just wondering if you've been told specifically that they are not letting you have access to your embryos. And also I'm on their site now, and I had thought this before from someone else I spoke to, but it sounds like they are open and cycling patients. And so it seems extra egregious if they're not responding to you, but they are seeing patients now.
Sure. I appreciate that. And Anu, I could probably answer both sides of that if that's okay.
Sure.
You know, the first question about regulation is, you know, we would welcome regulation from any governing body that actually has required enforcement, that requires clinics to actually abide by the rules and regulations. A self-regulating system, you know, voluntary guidance from ASRM or other self-regulating organizations is not sufficient. And how do we know that's not sufficient? Because of all the calls that we get of demonstrating all of the problems in fertility clinics, we know, the proof is in the pudding, we know what is wrong here. And we know that there are major problems, and the lack of regulation is contributing to that significantly. So no, it is not about a self-regulating organization. We need required guidelines, regulations, and standards, whether that is from the federal government or the state. We can have that conversation. It should be something that is uniform across the country and at the very least uniform throughout each state. You know, what we could have, for instance, is a public database with required reporting when there are problems. We could have unannounced inspections of laboratories. We could have, just to bring it up to, you know, to the current time, you know, regulations on when fertility clinics should close and when they can reopen, how to prioritize time-sensitive procedures, what type of equipment and process will best protect customers and employees alike. In response to the second part of your question, so you say that Pacific Fertility is open now, and I have no reason to doubt that. But part of the problem here is that we didn't even know that until you just said it. Mm-hmm. Anu did not know that until you just said that. She is a customer of Pacific Fertility Center. She had no idea until this press conference that PFC was open. What kind of communication or lack of communication does that demonstrate? That is no way to treat somebody who's going in for fertility care. The other part of your question was about sort of the transferring of the embryo. And, you know, I'll remind you and everybody here that part of the problem is that, you know, Anu and her husband's embryo in the tank at Pacific Fertility Center underwent a thawing. It was a thawing because of a freezer malfunction at Pacific Fertility. And so she wasn't going to, at Marin, try to transfer that embryo that was subject to the thawing at Pacific Fertility Center. She was going to start a new cycle at Marin.
Okay.
And that's what was going on between Marin and PSC.
Got it.
I will just say on a personal level, thank you very much for all your reporting on this. I respect it and appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for your work. This is obviously, yeah, very important and lots of voices. And yeah, so thank you.
Okay. And we want to make sure that reporters on the line have an opportunity to pose their questions while we have all of our speakers here together at once. So I'd like to invite the operator back on to repeat how members of the media can ask a question. Operator?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that would be star, followed by the number one on your telephone keypad.
Thank you. And we know that some reporters are going to want to take their questions offline. So if you need to do so, you can contact Max Carlin at 703-276-3255. Again, that's 703-276-3255. You should probably have by now the news release in your email inbox, but if you are having trouble finding it, go ahead and contact Max Carlin or reference the website lostembryos.com, where that and other materials are going to be available. Okay, operator, do we have any additional questions in the queue right now?
There are no questions at this time. You may continue.
Okay, well, thank you. Let's see. Well, Joe or Adam, do you want to deliver any closing thoughts or remarks? Before we end, give participants a little time to think about whether they want to pose a question before we close.
This is Adam. Thank you, Max. I appreciate it. Just a reminder to anybody who's listening that, you know, these issues are things that we think about and talk about all the time. And we do so because they're so vitally important to our clients. And so as you think through these issues, have questions, we are happy to work with you, talk with you, think through these things with you, and really appreciate your time in doing that with us and for our clients.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Operator, do we have any final questions coming in currently?
There are no questions over the phone. You may continue.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. Again, if you need to connect following the news event, you can contact Max Carlin at 703-276-3255. We'd be happy to help. You've been listening to a news event sponsored by the law firm Heifer Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway, and we thank you for your participation. That concludes today's news events.